I'd like to welcome everyone to the Recovery is My Responsibility workshop. Will you please help us open this meeting with a moment of silence for the addict that still suffers, followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Can we have a reading? We do recover.
Can I tell you what you feel? I'm an addict. It's right here.
I can.
It's like melting on the wall. Well, at the end of a road, we find that we can no longer function as a human being. Either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative, either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thanks, Kim. Just for today? Okay, with that, I would like to introduce our first speaker. We have Houston from the Back to Basics group of Narcotics Anonymous, located in Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Hello, everyone. I'm Houston, and I'm an addict.
Houston.
What a humbling experience right now for all the big crowd. Yeah, recovery is my responsibility as a topic. This is the first time I'm speaking on a topic. But since what I've been doing every time that I give a lead or I go into H&I is I do this little prayer, and I'll share it with you. I say, please, Lord, help me be a vessel to you and deliver a clear Narcotics Anonymous message and hopes and prayers that I might just save one person's life. In the words of addiction. Now, it's attraction, not promotion. So I tend to try to lead by example. I was told early in the program to get with the people that don't just talk the talk, that walk the walk, that live this spiritual-based program. And that's how I started my foundation. Since the malady is spiritual and the program is a spiritually based program, my foundation had to start with a God of my understanding. And that I could always fall back on. I've been to a couple different places right before I came into the program this time. This is my 13th time and being in recovery, in and out of rehabs, getting oil changes, and just never opened my mind to this, that this program works. I didn't do what people told me to do or suggested. I gave up a lot of times. Never thought that I was worthwhile of the blessings that this program was offered. A year ago, I was so broken, busted, and disgusted, spiritually bankrupt. I had resided in the woods outside of Philadelphia. I was so beat up. I was in Florida a little bit before that, and the doctors had told me that I needed a fifth open heart, and that I had about 30% chance of survival. So I gave up. I ran. I ran from life. I figured I was going to die anyhow. What does it matter? And I ended up in the woods with my brother and my sister. We had a little community out there, Misfits. About 15 of us, I guess, in the county that I was brought up at, it was better to just hide the homeless you know, instead of deal with the problem. And that went on for a year. So I had a little bit of an awakening, an act of providence, as my sponsor would call it. I gotten assaulted by a guy and busted me in the mouth, cut me real bad, and I let anger take over, and I beat this guy close to death. I even whacked him with a machete once, almost took off a couple of his fingers. When they were able to get him to the hospital, the police came back with the SWAT team to come get me. Luckily, the Lord was with him and me, and the guy had recovered in the hospital, and he had left. So they couldn't charge me, or the charges couldn't stick, so I was able to be released from prison. And at that time, it was like, all right, release me to where? Where am I going? Back out to the woods? I had nowhere else to go. I didn't know nothing better. And I finally hit my knees and said, God, please help me. And it was only through that complete and total surrender that I could understand that drugs had made my life unmanageable. I was in the woods. I'm in my element right now in the woods. I'm the fire ring guy. That's what I did in the woods. I cut wood. That was my responsibility. That was my vague thought of responsibility. Now, this program has gifted me with a lot of responsibilities that I hold myself accountable to. You know, it says in the readings, and my sponsor and my foundation tell me to keep what I have to give it away. So I do that. I do that to the best of my ability. I do a lot of H&I commitments. I also had some people telling me, don't burn out. Don't take on too many commitments. And then there's this thing called balance. Now, what is balance? I didn't know nothing. In the woods, it was just hit that next one and cut the wood, because otherwise there's no light at night. We didn't have electricity. Yeah? So, balance is a good one. These steps are in order for a reason. I learned that. First, I have to surrender. I have to be on my knees, I have to know without the slightest doubt that any time I take a mind-altering substance, my life becomes unmanageable. And I relate it to, if I take that substance, I'm back in the woods in a tent. Now, when I was in jail there, I was practicing gratitude just for running water. A toilet. Insanity, man. Insanity. So, I had to practice these spiritual principles, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I was pretty much willing to do anything I could to stay out of the woods. They said I could learn to become a productive member of society. Society, I didn't know what society was. I thought that was the 15 people out in the woods that I was the sheriff of Nottingham. There's also delusional thoughts in my story. I thought I was somebody. Ego can go wild with me sometimes. So I got to watch that. I got to keep myself humble. I learned all this through my foundation, through this program. I've been able to get some friends, some people that actually want to be around me, not for what I can do or what I have. I relate a lot to the woods because that was my last downfall. Growing up, I learned to rule by violence. My father was a very nasty person. And, I seen how he ruled the household. Everybody was terrified. We went to bed with, I'm going to come up and cut your throat so I was just sleeping. Now, if my mother heard that, she'd say, oh, no, it was all right. See, I've learned a lot about perceptions also in this program. What I see as bad, you might see as, that's not so bad. What matters is how I see things and how I can change it. And that's one of the blessings this program has been showing me. If I keep an attitude of gratitude, and it is an action, I'm able to see all these blessings that my higher power has been able to give me. And that makes life so much easier. That third step, God, that is so enlightening. If I do the best I can with the capabilities that my higher power gave me and the opportunities he puts in front of me, what comes next will be his will for me. You know, and it's just my perception on how that is. Now, I was told through a sponsor that feelings are meant to be felt. It's okay. Emotions are meant to be gone through. It's okay. What I'm held accountable for is my reactions to these feelings, to these emotions. You know, this program has showed me I don't have to act out. I don't have to act out today. You know, I got a foundation where I can call people. I got a support group. I got the way of the program. I got at least 50 numbers in my phone that I can call at any time. Any time of the day and say, look, I'm really going through something. You know, I've learned to express myself through my words now. And that helps a lot more because the results of my actions of violent or whatnot, acting out on that pride, ego, fear, normally imprisonment. Not just in a physical jail, but it leads me back to this bondage of addiction. That is the worst prison I've ever been in. Be free in the woods, but in that addiction, I was imprisoned. I was in the pits. Took a long time to climb out of that. A lot of willingness. I started, this time around, I got clean 8/7/12. And I had to practice a lot of willingness. When I finally gave up and went from the woods to the hospital after they let me out of jail, and I said, listen, I need help. Now, I'm not new to mental wards. I've been in about 20 of them. So I told them, I said, look, because I know when I tried to get into rehab, it's, oh, well, you got to wait. If you go to a mental ward and say, I'm going to kill somebody or kill myself, they say, okay, we got room for you. Take out the shoelaces. So that was the start. You know, I had to be willing to do whatever it took to get what these people say that they got, that they're living joyous and free. I want that, man. My whole life I've been in prison, especially from my own mentality. I never grew up correctly. I was living in violent, I was just insanity. Not only was my father a crazy nut, my brother was a state championship wrestler who was 9 years older than me, so I was a little dummy. You know, I got beat up from both sides, no matter what. I was the baby of the family, and they said I was the only one planned. Well, 5 weeks old, I had to have emergency open heart surgery. So I wasn't even supposed to be here from the beginning. Or at least that's what my mother had kind of told me, because she works in the ER, or not the ER, the operating room in Trenton, New Jersey, a major trauma hospital. So she sees people die all the time. It's kind of hard to get any type of sympathy or love in my family. I thought love was hurting one another. You don't do this, this is what you get. That's what I grew up with. It's not like that today, man. Being able to talk to somebody, put my hand on somebody's back and say, you know what, you got something to talk about, are you okay? Now, that's love, man. Being there, doing what I say that I'm going to do, holding myself accountable for these things. I mean, that's that joyous and free for me. That people actually like me and want to be around me for me. I had all these masks put on. I still don't know who I am. My higher power has been opening doors left and right for me to go through to find out who I truly am and who he wants me to be. His will for me, not my own. So I know left of my own devices, I'd be crawling through woods like that. That's okay, that's good. This is such an honor and a pleasure to be here, to be speaking at this retreat. This is my first retreat. This is the first time I've been in the woods, actually by choice, and not be isolated from society. It is a pleasure. It's just powerful that I was asked to speak. I'd like to thank the programmer and all that. Some good people I met in this program. Now, I always hear that this program works if you work it. So that means I got to be responsible to work something, you know? I'd rather work this than being out there cutting wood all night, you know? There's a lot of blessings to this program, and I think a lot of times I gotta humble myself. You know, just because my higher power has opened some doors, you know, I obtained some material things, I gotta remember, this ain't me. This is him working through me. This is him showing me, saying this is the power that he can grant me as long as I told him I need for him. Now, I worked this program. He put this program in my life to save my life, that maybe I could save other lives. This is where that commitment of H and I and spreading the message and letting people know there is a new way to live without drugs. That is powerful. I see a lot of people. I live in a not-so-nice neighborhood where there's a lot of killings. There's been a good couple of them. And I'm still learning about traditions because I had a little mishap where they had an incident and the news cameras were there, and I'm like, man, I just wish these people could hear the message in Narcotics Anonymous that there's a new way to live. And they said, well, will you say that on camera? And I thought, oh, ego, yeah, sure. Little did I know that I got yelled at by about 10 different people. What are you doing? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. It's an ongoing process. Yeah. So I gotta remember to humble myself. Yeah. I gotta remember to humble myself. Yeah, I get with this program, man. It's just so great. I want to share it with everybody, man. Attraction, not promotion. So leading by example and showing people this is what you can have with this new way of life. Come get some of this. Talk to some of these people that are living these spiritual principles and that are working the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. And you can have it too. Happens in all different forms, shapes, and sizes. I actually have my own apartment. It's been a long time since I had anything. And it wasn't easy at first. I moved out of the halfway house and I was able to obtain an apartment. And I didn't have nothing in it, but it was mine. I was paying for it. It was one of my first responsibilities. Got to pay them bills. You know, I had to practice that patience and tolerance. Things will come in time. As long as I keep doing that next right thing, which I was told will keep me in conscious contact with my higher power, by doing that next right thing, especially if I don't like it. Especially if I don't like it. And that's when I get some of them gifts and blessings. So that's what I do. A lot of times I might not know what it is. So this is why I had built a foundation. I have a sponsor. I call support group. Oh, look, this is a situation. What should I do? And they'll probably tell me something that, in my mind, I didn't want to do. But would be the next right thing, so I do it. I practice that willingness. Now you gotta be open-minded. I had to listen to suggestions. I didn't want to take no suggestions. I know how to live. I was in the woods. Can't tell me nothing. Wow, little did I know. such a better way of life, man. One of the biggest things that this program has given me is brought me closer to my higher power. Now, with him, all is possible. I've been able to obtain some material things, but the blessings is this spiritual growth. Now, I've learned not to swear as much. I still slip up. Like I said, it's an ongoing process. You know, and that ego, that gets inflated real quick. This is rather humbling that there's only, what, 6-8 of us here? Rather humbling, which is good, man. This is great. I'm just so glad to be here. I'm in the woods, but in a cabin with electricity. Wow. Yeah, brand new cabin. Talk about miraculous, yeah? I had actually started a landscaping business. This is, it's something. And I did some pretty big jobs so far. You know, and it's all just through talking to people and through this program. And being able to research and practicing. See, I apply these steps in every aspect of my life. If I don't know something, I call somebody that does. I learned that through this program. Back in the day, I didn't want to admit that I didn't know something. How do you put up a retaining wall? Oh, I know how to do that. I got this. I'm Houston. Pride and ego. I had to humble myself and say, all right, well, who do I call? And a sponsor of mine, who I call Megamind, is that computer whiz. He said, well, why don't you look it up on the internet? Everything's on there. So that's how I learned. You know, and I talked to other people that did masonry work. Just like any other situation in life, you'll find somebody in Narcotics Anonymous who went through it and stayed clean and was able to grow from it. Now, that's what I want to do. I want to be able to go through any situation, any adversity in this life and grow from it and not use. That's the biggest thing. Because in 5 years, I'm right back in these woods, without that cabin, without the electricity, without running water. It's funny, the showers, they got a shower thing here. And I was remembering what I had to do for a shower. You know, I had to grab a bunch of empty jugs, wait until nightfall, sneak up to Rite Aid, pour water from the spigot in there, run back to the woods to the fire, pour water, soap up, pour water off. I was lucky to do that once a week. This is what keeps me humble, and it keeps me with that attitude of gratitude. Every time I walk through my apartment door, for me, I pray to my higher power, thank you for all the blessings that you gave me, because I know God giveth, and he can take away it real quick. So I cherish these things, especially relationships. And not everybody in my way I like. But you know what? I hear some of the best things from the people that, in my mind, I wasn't too fond of. So I don't judge a book by its cover. I learned that real quick. Gotta practice that open-mindedness. These spiritual principles, when it says it in that reading, about the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. If you don't have that, if I don't practice them three things, I'm done. I'm doomed. You know? And I had to learn how to practice them. The first 12 times in rehab in 2007 was one of my first visits. I had lost my wife. My 2-year-old son had ran out on a highway because of my addiction. I didn't get up in the morning. Luckily, my higher power was there. He didn't get hurt, but I got charged up. I ran from reality. I jumped in the river. I jumped in the Schuylkill River. And luckily, the police were able to fish me out and resuscitate me. Talk about humility. They pulled me out of the river on the Camden side, and the newspaper had gotten a picture, right? Here, I was so insane, I stripped down to my SpongeBob boxers and jumped in the river. They got a picture of me being held up by 2 police officers with my SpongeBob boxers. Man jumped in river, SpongeBob boxers. Oh, my God. Talk about humiliation. But that's what it took to lead me into this program. You know, and I didn't get it the first time. That was the first time that they committed me, put me in a loony bin. You know, and I heard this guy always say, you know, where are you at from 0 to 10? You know, do you want to live or do you die? And I would be telling him, look, I'm a 0. I want to die. I jumped in the river. You know, as time went on, I was able to say, all right, I'm a 10. Get me out of here. I want my shoelaces. Luckily, there was a rehab right next door, so I said, all right, let me get into that. I didn't know what it was, but I knew I had nowhere to go. I was broken, busted, disgusted, spiritually bankrupt. So I went to the rehab, and they drilled this stuff called addiction into my mind. And they said that I'm hardwired through all the years of suffering and how my perceptions of these adversities were, that I'm hardwired in my mind to escape reality and use. So that's what I did, and I had to identify that. I had to take a serious look at that. So I did my oil changes for a while. Like I said, that was my first time. This is my 13th time. What a number, too, 13. I was in the woods dressed as Michael Myers for the past year with the machetes and the hatchet, which I still have the hatchet in the car, but I'm in the woods. You know, old habits die hard. I'm working on it. You know, it's all about growth. But I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed. A lot of my addiction really reared up when I was 19 and watched my father blow his head off. 357. And that was a real bad thing. Laid on his back while his heart stopped and his brain 2 feet from his head. And now that's when I ran. I ran from reality, you know. I didn't know what to do. I was always yelled at, told I wouldn't amount to nothing. Now I believed all that stuff. Now through this program and the unity that it offers, I actually have people telling me, you can do it! You can beat somebody! You just gotta do it, man! You gotta put the work into it! Wow! Okay. So I got with people that live the way they talk. A couple of them here. I'm hoping everybody here does it. I choose to do it. And that's the big thing. I'm not held accountable for what anybody else thinks of me. You know, I got to do the next right thing and leave everything else up to God. That's what this program has given me. Now, without that thought of being accountable of what anybody thinks of me, frees me up. I no longer have that social anxiety. I wouldn't be up here at the mic speaking. I'd be back in the cabin or in the tent. This is a great thing. What's time like that? I'll sit here and talk all day. I'm very happy for this program. I think I ate up my time. I hope somebody heard something good. I hope I reached somebody and maybe attracted some people to Narcotics Anonymous program, New Way to Live, without addiction. That's all I got.